Today we're going to talk about our last Proverbs sermon. Open your Bibles in Proverbs 1:31-33. And it's just good. I was thinking about it for the last 2 weeks. I've been thinking about this message. And it struck me something. I was going through a day that I wasn't having a healthy soul. I want to talk about how to have a healthy soul. I was having a day that was not having a healthy soul. And I thought, how many people go through life like that as a Christian? Some days you just have God and his presence and his peace and you're doing what is right. And other days, it's not that you're going to have every day perfect. But I just want to talk to you today about a healthy soul, because I did some research about the body, and you need three things for your body. You also need those three things for your soul. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31, says, therefore they must, the foolish people, the people who don't walk with God, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own scheme, for simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. Say with me, complacency. Complacency. We struggle with a healthy body because we have a problem because of what? Complacency. The spirit is no different. 33. But all who listen to me, who listen to God, will live in peace. We all want that. Untroubled by fear of harm. Let's pray. Father, we ask you that you speak to our lives today. Many in this room struggle with peace, struggle with healthy food for the soul, healthy exercise, healthy rest. Lord, I ask you that you just help us as we all grow in. Lord, me and everybody in this room, we will hear your voice today, something you want to speak to us. What are we doing that is unhealthy for our souls? What are we doing that is not healthy and is hurting us? God, I ask you, just give us revelation, and we give you the glory for what you're doing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. We all know you don't have to do a lot of research. I didn't do a lot of research. I thought I knew what I needed, but I still did some research. What did you need to have a healthy body? And everybody says you need to have what? Healthy food. Yeah, a good salad with a little chicken and a little bit of all this good stuff. Healthy exercise and also healthy rest. Some Christians don't have none of this. Some others know how to have healthy food, but don't know how to have healthy rest. And so the soul is troubled, the emotions, the thought, the heart, the spirit. They always they know that they are not healthy. You know when you're not healthy because it hurts you. God put pain in our bodies as a blessing. Do you know that? Pain is a blessing because pain will tell you when you have to change something. Aren't you glad that when you put the finger over the fire, you feel pain? Because if you would not feel pain, what's going to happen? You're going to lose that finger. Amen? And God also puts some stuff in our spirit, in our soul, to warn us, to give us red lights and green, not green lights, but yellow lights or red lights to show us that we are not healthy. You can exercise. Not every exercise is a healthy exercise. You can break, destroy your body with exercising where your body is not ready to go yet. Rest, you can rest healthy ways, and you can rest unhealthy ways. I would not recommend you to get super drunk or high on drugs or drink a bottle of pills to go to rest, because that's not very healthy. Amen? And when we come to food, come on, we live in New Mexico. We know what unhealthy food is all over our lives. It has been discovered that the most popular foods in every place of the world is the most unhealthy food for you. Have you know that? The most popular, most traditional, most powerful food around anywhere in the planet, even the Chinese people and Japanese, when you want to eat good stuff in China, it's fried, full of fat and full of that stuff. Can I have an amen if you like that stuff? Amen. All righty. What are you feeding your soul? We talked for, this is the 8th week, and we're done with this for today. The wise person makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. The wise person changes. The foolish person, what is it? The foolish person keeps doing the same mistake time after time. The difference in between the wise And the foolish is not a miss. The foolish doesn't miss a piece of brain. They miss humbleness to recognize that they need to change. They miss humbleness to recognize they need help and need to make a change in their lives. So let's talk about eating. We're going to talk about eating a lot about words. Because when you feed yourself physically, what do you use? Your mouth. And it's not very different from what you feed your soul with your own mouth, with your own words, with the words of others, or the word of God. Come on now. You feed, you put it in. A lot of times we are unhealthy because instead of listening to God, we listen too much to other things. And a lot of times, because we are full of those things, we speak those things. Look what the Bible says, Proverbs 15:2. Words of wisdom come from the wise, but fools speak foolishness. You want to know how wise you are, ask somebody that you know to not tell you what day they're going to do it and secretly record everything you say in 24 hours. Woo! And then listen to what you said in 24 hours and you're going to find how wise you are and how foolish you are. How about record everything everybody tells you in 24 hours? How about how much have you put of God wisdom in your life in 24 hours? How about how many thoughts and things you let run wild in your mind? You know, it's almost an impossible experiment, but I'm trying to make you think a little bit. The Bible says words of wisdom come from the wise. Who is wise? God is wise. Intelligent, you get from school. Good grades, school. You're smart, you get good grades. You're wise, you have a good life. Because you're living by the wisdom of the Word of God. So the fool person, the foolishness comes out of the foolish person. Look about the words of others. Proverbs 17:4. I love this one. Troublemakers listen to troublemakers. And liars listen to liars. About 30 years ago, you can do the math, I'm 47 now. 30 years ago, I never had the desire to go and sit down with my mom and dad, very wise people, and tell them, Mom and Dad, give me some wisdom. I didn't do it. A 12, a 14, a 17. Who did you and I hang out at that age of? And I'm trying to help the young people in this room to see their own lives. Troublemakers listen to troublemakers, and liars listen to liars. Many, many times when we are being foolish, and we know that if we talk to wise people, they're going to what? Rebuke us. And the Bible says also in Proverbs that if you rebuke the foolish person, they're going to hate you. If you rebuke the wise, it will become more wiser. It will become more wise. So the Bible says the troublemakers listen to troublemakers. Foolish people enjoy the company of foolish people. Have you ever walked out of a conversation and you feel like the Holy Spirit speaks to you and said, oh my goodness, you just spent like 10 minutes talking trash with this person about somebody. And maybe that's not you all the time, but because you were hanging out with somebody who likes to talk trash, our sinful nature starts doing well. Have you ever been there? And then you feel like, oh man, that was not good. Remember, stay away from the evil person. Ministry and try to help the foolish person, but keep your distance. Become really close to who? To the wise person. To the wise person. Hang out with sick people, and you will become what? Sick. if you go and eat with me, I promise you, I'm not going to take you to the salad bar. What is a restaurant here next to, you know, it's just Rudy's, and next to Rudy's is, what is that, the tomato, what is that place? Sweet Tomato. You have the option. How many of you guys, most of the time you go to Sweet Tomatoes instead of Rudy's? Anybody goes more to Rudy's than Sweet Tomatoes? Amen. You're going to hit my age. And you're going to have a wife who's a nurse. And she, when you hit 40, she's going to say, you got to go and get a total work of your blood and see what's going on inside of you. And when that letter comes, you try to hide it from your wife like you just committed adultery. You know what I'm saying? You hang out with me. You go to Rudy's. You go to Taco Bell. You go to Filiberto's. You go to McDonald's. And if I invite you to eat at my house, one of the things I enjoy the most is fried chicken and macaroni and cheese. It doesn't get any more fattening than that. The Bible says the truth. Now about your words. Starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before a dispute breaks out. I said this a few weeks ago. Before you check social media, you should read this. We should read this. Starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. Say it with me. So, say it with me. Stop. Say it with me more. Stop. One more time. Stop. Before a dispute breaks. Yeah, stop. Before a dispute breaks out. Some of us need to, maybe not steal from the side of the street a stop sign, but make yourself one and put it all over the house, you know, and you see every time you see that, stop, stop, you know. You know, say it. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered person starts what?
Fights.
A foolish person argues all the time, in other words. A hot-tempered person starts fights. A cool-tempered person, what? A cool-tempered person. I was reading the Beatitudes this morning, and I found out that about 70 or 80% of the Beatitudes have to do with your mouth. The peacemaker, the humble, the kind. The person that is not a fighter and starts all this fight. A hot-tempered person starts fights. Personal story. My sister, me, my other brother, and two more sisters. My mom and my dad, good Christians. When we were start a fight, this is truth. You can ask anyone in my family. When we start a fight, one of the questions that always came up before we got a good old spanking, you know what I'm saying? One question that my dad always, and you couldn't lie because it was always me and my brother or me and my sisters. You know, I remember when it was always me. One of the questions my dad always asked, who started the argument? Who started the fight? Who started the punching? Who started the pulling hair? That person knew that if I started the fight, I was counting how many spankings, 2, 3, 4, my brother. If I started, I knew I was going to get one more. Are you following me here? God says, are you the one who starts it? Because most likely, listen, most likely, if you wouldn't start it, it would have never happened. Can I say that one more time so you remember? Most likely, the argument, the complaint, the fight, the yelling, the screaming, the calling names, most likely, if you would have not started, it would have never happened. It would have never happened. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 3 and 4. The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. He's watching. You know that God is like my dad. He is also watching who starts the fights. And he's the one who blesses us or not. Are you following me here? He's watching. He's watching. I can tell you my marriage, I started probably, Katie would disagree, probably the number is higher, you know, but I'm going to say 15 or 20 of one that she, higher, honey? Oh, wow, we got to talk about this one. And I can tell you, I struggle with peace and joy more than my wife. And so this message is for all of us, amen? And if it's maybe for you, don't walk away so I don't start, keep preaching just to myself. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 15, 3 and 4. The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. Gentle words. He's not saying don't talk. He says gentle words are what? A tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And I said, I always thought this is just when I am deceitful, you know. Have you ever struggled with the idea of how can I say this without lying because I don't want to go to hell, I don't want to lie, I don't want to be caught as a liar. The last thing I want to hear my kids ever tell me is, Dad, you lie. That would be a horrible thing for me as a father. You lie to me, you are a liar. That would crush my spirit. So have you ever been tempted, or my wife to tell me that, or others, to find a way to say it so they understand something different of what really happened, but you're still not lying? Have you ever struggled with that thought in your mind? Come on, let's be honest. That is what? Deceitful tongue. Deceitful tongue. Gentle words are a tree of life. How much of our conversation, after we record ourselves for 24 hours, are gentle words? Because gentle words are a tree of life. A tree brings shade to other animals and creatures, brings fruit, brings nesting room, brings protection, brings life, brings humidity to the... It's amazing what one tree can do. Tons of our struggle, please let me tell you, I'm talking from my own experience. Tons of our lack of peace and joy in our everyday life is because of how much we say or don't say, how much we hear, how much we pollute our minds with the words of others instead of the Word of God speaking to us. We're going to go a little deeper in this. When you are healthy, you say healthy things. When you fill your life with junk, your spirit will not have peace and joy. You will not find, no matter how much you entertain yourself, how much you do, how much money you make, how many friends you have, how popular you can be. Every one of us live every second of our lives with a interior of ourselves. Are you here with me? And so we walk into the room, and some days I'm just whistling, and some days I'm just spending good time with God. Some days I'm not letting the world pollute me, and I'm whistling. And maybe people are just saying stuff that are not that good, and they're not affecting me that much. But other times, I feel like I'm the person in the room where everybody is just going, you know, and whistling. I could whistle, you know, that's not... Well, a little bit. And you are the one who is messed up in your soul. Have you ever been there? And there is no money, there is no friends, there is no pleasure, there is no food, there is nothing. Then the change that God can bring into our lives. I have seen people, I have lived for many years in a third world country, in the poorest country in the whole Americas, Paraguay. And I've seen people who has no electricity, no gas, no car, They eat what they plant, what they fish, and what they produce. But they are so full of God in their lives. And you can see that they enjoy life so much more than some people that I know who have everything that this world offers, but they are empty of God in their lives. They are empty of God. So what are you feeding your soul with? What are you feeding your soul with? The second point is, how healthy is your exercise? How healthy is your exercise? Go with me again to the book of Proverbs. And this is a cardboard box. I'm really testing this if it's going to hold all that weight. Proverbs 3:28 says, if you can help your neighbor now, I struggle with that. We all struggle with that. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and I will help you. That means I have to help to everybody. I will say, as much as you can, yes. As much as it doesn't hurt you or your family, help them. I have a wise wife, and I go home and I want to be selfish sometimes, because when you help somebody, you have to give your time, your money, your energy, your car, everything, you know, so many things. And Katie always says, help. Wait and watch if God is not going to bless you so much more. But here I'm fighting for $10. Here I'm fighting, and there is so many things, my friends, that you cannot bring upon your life. There is so many things that you cannot bring upon your marriage or upon your kids. The protection of God, the wisdom of God, the touch of the Holy Spirit, provision. I can talk the peace of God. I can talk about so many things that only God can do, yeah, for us. And He's so generous. So one of the exercises we have to do is, let's not be so selfish. Give it a shot. If you have somebody you can help, don't say, come back tomorrow. For many years, people will come to this church, and you can read them, and you can smell them, and you can look at them, and they're asking you for money. And you know how we think a lot of times. Well, I have to work, you know? You look like you could work too. I'm pretty sure the way you smell is this is all going to the gas station and on liquor probably. And you can go on and on and on. The other day, I had a person who I can read all the lies they're telling me. They're in my office and they're telling me, this person is telling me so many lies. But they want stuff. They want money and they want... In my mind again, it's like, you're playing me, you know? And the guy's going all over the place. I have a very popular Facebook account. Everybody watches because I'm going across the country with my bike. And if this town of Albuquerque is full of bad, there's no Christians in Albuquerque, there's no Christians in Santa Fe. And it's like the guy, you know, and I'm not afraid of what he's going to post on Facebook, if I help him or not. But he's doing this whole thing that they are professionals of. But in my spirit, I still hear, every dollar you have in your pocket, give it to him. Give it to him. And I tell you what, I give every dollar. And after I did what I had to do, my soul was so healthy again. I know that some of you guys don't buy it. It's hard. I didn't buy it for a long time. And I'm not saying go and buy liquor for everybody out in the streets. I'm not saying that. But sometimes God says, you need to help somebody. Did you know that you and I need people who need stuff all the time? You know that God will always put people in need around our lives because He wants to bless us? Because He wants to change our hearts. Because He needs to deal with us. Don't say, come back tomorrow. Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than what? Than gold. And good judgment than silver. How much better to get wisdom than gold? When I was reading this last week, I just wrote this down. Are you running? Are we running every day to make money before we run to get wisdom from God? Because it's talking how much better is to get one more revelation from the Word of God than make another dollar. But we all wake up because we have to pay the bills. I understand that. We all wake up and we get ready to rent for another dollar. But God is saying, before you rent to make another piece of gold or silver, it is so much what? Better to rent to where? To the Word of God and to His presence. And that makes the difference. The way you feel a lot of times inside of you has nothing to do with how much money you make. It has to do with what? How much of God are you bringing into your own heart? Are you here with me? And now it's so easy to wake up and go to the social media and go to all that stuff. And then we are not healthy and then we don't feel good. And then it's like all this stuff. Look what the Bible says. It's okay to love yourself. Proverbs 19:8 says, to acquire wisdom is to what? Is to love yourself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. If you rent to God before you rent to make a dollar, you are a very wise person. That is loving yourself. Acquire wisdom. Cherish understanding. The most I rent to wise people, and especially to God, the more He opens my mind to understand things that I don't understand in my own mind, going through stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Because we just read stuff on the top and we make so many crazy decisions. Proverbs 16:32 says, better to be what? Patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Do you want to have a healthy soul? Look at the person next to you and tell them, be patient. Be patient. Control yourself. Tell the person next to you, get a grip of yourself. How many of you guys get all messed up when you're not patient? Anybody gets really unhealthy and really messed up and really painful? Come on! I go through stuff as a father, as a husband, as a man, as a pastor, and I go home, and if I can have self-control, I said, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm not going to say anything. Sometimes I can't do that. Sometimes I just do whatever it comes to me, and then I suffer the consequences in my own spirit. Yeah, the floors were so clean yesterday afternoon. So clean, so clean, just washed. And the dog, I saw the dog because I was in the backyard. I put him in the grass, and it digged in the grass and in the mat, and it's raining. My son, Liam, doesn't know the situation with the dog. He loves that dog. So the first time that the dog is scratching on the door, he opens the door, and the dog runs inside of the house. And I'm like, patient was the last thing I'm thinking right there. Getting a grip of myself was the last thing I'm thinking of myself at that moment. And I didn't cuss, didn't yell. I don't think I raised my voice. You can ask him. But I just said, like, for, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes, you know, he asked me 2 or 3 times, are you done, Dad? While he is cleaning the floors, he's asking me, are you done, Dad? And I'm just like, you know, you get this, oh, man. Let that decision of opening the door is only, I'm going to put a sign, you know, that's how I'm thinking. The person who is 40 and older or clean the floor only has the authority to open this door. You know, that's what I'm thinking. You know? Everybody else, do something else with your life, you know? And I said, I didn't cast it in. But then this morning I was praying and I was struggling and I was thinking in my sermon that the Holy Spirit said, you got to go and say, forgive me, Liam, because I couldn't just say it with very gentle words. with a lot of patience, with a lot of self-control. Liam, the dog is very dirty. I want you to see what he did. And please put the dog in the garage so he dries up. Don't put it back here because he keeps getting more and more, you know. That's all I needed to say. But the problem is that the way I see and the light comes on that floor, I see all the parts that he hasn't cleaned yet, you know. And then he gets a rock from the kitchen, you know, for the... Oh, and it's all the stuff that we adults know. There is a lot of racks in the house. You know, it's just life. And he's an angel for me. He's such a great kid. And so I have to go, because when you are not patient, a lot to do with prospering financially has to do with being active. A lot to do with having healthy soul has to do with what? With using your brain before you use your lips. In my case, the muscles of my lips move so much faster than my brain most of the time. And then I get in trouble. And then I don't have healthiness. Better to be patient. Better to be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Get a grip of yourself. Ask God to help you. If you struggle like me, wake up in the morning and say, God, please help me today. Help me today. Help me today. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the godly, it's not even the wise person, it's the godly. Wow. Think carefully before speaking. Ouch. Did anybody feel like God just gave you a good old, you know? The heart, not even the mind, the heart of the godly person, the person that fills their life with God, where Jesus is number one, and I spend time with God, and God, please help me. God, I'm a mess, and God, I need you to help me. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked, again. Exercise your brain, exercise your heart before you exercise the muscles in your lips and in your tongue. Overflows with evil words. Proverbs 15:8, the Lord detests, wow, the sacrifice of the wicked. But he delights in what? In the prayers of the upright. Some people walk every day hungry of peace and joy that only comes from spending time with God. Only comes. The Lord delights in the prayers of the upright. He delights in the prayers of the upright, not the perfect, the upright. Proverbs 15:10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Love correction and fill your heart with life again. Love the correction of God. And if you are a Christian, most of the time, we know where we are walking the path of disobedience. Let's be honest. We do know. Because the Holy Spirit is so faithful. There is no money. There is no pleasure. There is no popularity. There is nothing of this world who will give you a healthy soul, who will give you what only God can give you every day. And here's the last one. Let's take the weight out of this little makeup, beautiful bed here. How is your soul resting? How is your soul resting? Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You can only rest when you learn to. It's a contradiction, it seems like. When you learn to what? to run to God. Run to something else, and you will be more tired. Run to something else. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Where can you find safe? Only running to God. Running to God. I go home sometimes and I am running in my brain, in my mind. How am I going to fix this? And I'm going to fix it today. And I'm going to make that phone call. I'm going to send that email. I'm going to do this. I'm going to visit with these people. I'm going to talk. And I go home and my wife tells me, be quiet. Take a few days to pray about it. Maybe they're going through something you have no idea. Talk to God about it. The two things that really hit me every time is pray about it first and then wait a few days before you open your mouth. She always tells me that. Thank you, honey. Run to God. Spend some time with God. Run to God. Proverbs 3:32. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. Not the perfect, the person that is seeking God, the person that is walking with Jesus. His secret counsel. Do you live only by God's everyone knows word? Because if you read the Bible, you're going to get whatever gets, you know. Pray for the one who curses you, you know. Forgive the ones who hurt you, you know. It's better to give. And so that's all on the surface. Jesus said, I'm not going to call you my servants anymore. I'm going to call you my friends because a friend reveals the secret of the heart. Please. The secret counsel. You're going to not find gold. There is gold all over the world. Do you know that? There is gold all over the world. If you spend 5 minutes with a spoon, you're not going to find gold, most likely. You need to spend a lot of time digging very deep to find gold where gold is. The Word of God is full of gold. Amen? And the Bible says his secret counsel, the things that others don't see, the things that you don't see right away, the secret counsel. The secret counsel. Proverbs 19:11, it says, a person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. Lack of forgiveness will mess up with your soul tremendously. It will mess up with your soul. And you know what I'm talking about. If you struggle with forgive somebody, you can again have all the things of this world, but your soul is still going to be so unhealthy. You're not going to enjoy life. You're not going to have a good life because of lack of forgiveness. But the Bible says a person insight gives what? Him? Patience. Insight. The secret revelation. And people might say, you're crazy. Why are you doing that? And you give them secret revelation, and they're not going to understand why. When they tell you to slap, to vengeance, to kick, and you say, no, God is telling me to not do something about it. God is telling me to wait, that he will take care of stuff. But that doesn't happen if you don't get secret revelation. Here is another one. This is tremendously. Proverbs 7:14. I hate this woman tremendously. The Bible says it's okay to hate sin. God hates sin, okay? But I should just hate her sin and not her. But it's just, it's a very good story. Proverbs 7 talks about the young, foolish man, maybe not young, maybe he's old, who walks down the street where the adulterous woman lives. Read the whole chapter at home. Not here because you're not going to hear me. There's something important here. Very important. It always... I read it so many times. I don't know how many times this whole chapter because I like to read Proverbs. But this week I was looking at it. The Bible says that this woman, which was a Hebrew, I'm going to say now in a minute why, she is at the door with very sensual clothes, and she says all kinds of stuff. I have put new sheets. She's the adulterous woman. Washed them, and I put perfume from somewhere in Persia, something that most expensive perfume. It smells amazing. My husband is not home, she says. He took a bag full of money. He's not coming back 2 a.m. He's coming back in many, many, many days from now. Come in with me and let's have a whole night of sexual pleasure. But then she says, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. She couldn't say any other offerings that the Hebrews will do, but she says peace offerings. One of the things we need for a healthy soul tremendously. And you know, and I know what happened with the family of the man who is sleeping around in his life. You all know, and you see, and you have seen it probably happen and hit you very close to your house. She is saying, it's a horrible thing. The Lord, because a peace offering you offer to the Lord after he had blessed you so much, that you have so much peace, and the Hebrew people, after they were so blessed by God, and they had so much peace in every aspect of their life, they will offer an altar and an offering of peace to God because they were so full of peace because of the blessings of God. And she's saying, I am alone, and I want to offer this. I want to have this spiritual time with God. And I don't want to do it alone. I need somebody to be there with me. Mary, man, you have not experienced pain until you go and sleep with another woman that is not your wife. You have no idea how the peace is going to disappear for a long time. Just mess with pornography. Just mess with all this other stuff that is out there for us. But she is saying, I want to slap this woman and say, you want this guy to sleep with you thinking that you and sin are going to give him peace. Now you understand why I'm so mad. Peace, that's what the devil does with sin, to steal health in your soul. It can come through shows, entertainment, through people, through conversations, through things you say, through things you hear, through things, so many ways. The enemy is attacking us to lose the healthiness. Peace. I wrote this down. Sacrifice your peace, she's saying, with God and with your family for the hell that is waiting after you sleep with me. Because the Bible also says in Proverbs, the man who walks down that path and the end is like being entangled by the ropes of pain and suffering in his life. Would you close your eyes right there where you are this morning? Are we feeding our soul with people, with foolishness of conversation? Are we feeding our soul with the Word of God, with the revelation of God? Are we feeding our soul with running for money more than running for the wisdom of God? Are we exercising in doing good, waiting on God, thinking before we talk, loving correction, praying, spending time with God? Are we resting our soul running from sin into God? Are we resting our soul getting secret revelation by being patient, by forgiving, by trusting for God in everything? And maybe today you're trying really hard to feed your life with God, but maybe you struggle with maybe a person, a son, a daughter, a situation, money, health, I don't know what it could be, but you cannot find rest because you have not laid in the arms of Jesus yet that and said, God, I trust that you are going to do something with this. I am not going to try to solve it anymore. I trust in you. Or maybe you're polluting your soul with the things of this world and very small or nothing of God. Every decision has a consequence in our lives. Or maybe you are struggling with helping others, with forgiving, with being patient. I don't know what steals healthiness inside of you, but God knows. And He wants to tell you right now. Ask Him, God, what are you talking to me? What are you saying to me? What are you saying to me, God? What are you saying to me, God? But it all starts with putting Jesus first in our lives. And if that's you this morning, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it all starts right there. It starts at the cross. It starts by surrendering your life to Jesus and saying, God, do whatever you want with my life. I give you every aspect of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. God, forgive me of my sins. If that's you this morning, and if you who know Jesus want to help those who are going to do it for the first time, would you just repeat after me? Say, Father God, I need your wisdom. I tried to fix my life, and it didn't work. I need Jesus in my life. Forgive me my sins, God. Make me a new person. Holy Spirit, come into my life and start speaking to me. Make me hungry for you. Every day a little bit more. Make me a new person. Amen. Right there where you are with your eyes closed, I want to pray for you. You can pray also right there where you are. But Father, we come before you. Lord, we all struggle with a healthy soul. We all struggle with healthy eating, healthy exercising, and healthy resting. We all struggle with all these things. Lord, we're going back home today, tomorrow, this week. Is there something at the end of this series talking about the foolish person keeps doing the same thing, getting the same results? Is there something that you want to call us to wisdom? Where is the area in our lives, God, that we are being unhealthy? Maybe show us that person in our lives that we have to distance ourselves and ministry from the distance, but maybe replace them for a wise person in our lives, at least more time with you, God. Lord, where is the wisdom part of this whole series? Where you become the center again of our families, our marriage, our finances, our work, our heart, our soul, our minds. You become the center. And you become all in all for us. Lord, help us to see that area that we have to make a change in our lives. And Holy Spirit, remind us. And Holy Spirit, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.